Communications, and today I'm speaking with Terry Burnworth, President of Pyramid Consulting Services. Terry, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Well, thank you, Donnie. I appreciate it.
So, Terry, I know this is something that you've been dealing with for a while, but you know, one of the big challenges in the 911 world is this transformation, as it's, you know, 911 traditionally has been all about voice. And, you know, we've got some text, but, you know, honestly, they've been doing TTY, and so even introducing text wasn't a huge shock to the system. But now people are saying, hey, we want 911 to be able to receive video and all this data from IoT sensors, whether they're smart buildings, smart grids, smart cities, you know, telematics from automobiles, you know, all of these things. And it's a good idea. It seems like on the surface, but how do the people in the 911 centers handle all this?
Well, it has a very interesting future ahead of it, Donnie. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen just in the past few years actually is something phenomenal related to telecommunicators and dispatchers. Because when you deal with a large institution, you'll have the separation. So you have the telecommunicator getting all the information possible, and then you have the dispatcher going directly to the first responder. But most of the PSAPs that you'll see around, or the emergency communication centers, they actually, that same person is doing both. They're taking in that information. Okay, and there's a multitude of things going on at the same time, and they're trying to speak to that first responder. In fact, in some institutions, they'll even take them offline so they can deal with the incident until the incident is completed.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. That call flow is very familiar in a voice world. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the challenge is, you know, I mean, to me, you know, what the call takers, telecommunicators do that is so amazing to me is how they're able to stay calm and often able to keep people who are, you know, having the worst day of their life, literally, and keeping them calm. But
you are correct.
But if they're in a situation where they're being sent graphic video of things blowing up or people getting stabbed or, you know, whatever, I think that would be very difficult for them to stay calm and not get distracted by it. And so I know this has been a big topic at trade shows, you know, this potential for information overload. First off, do you think it's a real problem? And then B, what are some of the different ways of possibly addressing it?
Donnie, I chuckle because I think we have the same reading material. Okay. Information overload was coined back in the 60s by Alvin Toffler, which, you know, further produced the book in the beginning of the 70s, Future Shock, and then followed up with the third wave. It has been out there, and the realization has actually been occurring for at least the past dozen years. But over the past just 3 to 4 years, the change has become so accelerated. I'm usually dealing with EOCs or ECCs, because emergency operations centers a lot of times will have a direct communication to the PSAP or the emergency communication center, and they don't even have an SOP that's up to date. Like, how are they going to bring in all this additional information? Who disseminates this additional information? As an architect, also, what I've seen is some of the physical changes that are occurring in these PSAP locations. You know, years ago, could you ever think about having a debriefing room, a quiet room, things like that to decompress? That didn't be even thought about. But now, because of what you've been saying, Donnie, that is exactly what's happening. I mean, I have clients that call saying, how can I have my environment more conducive to these people that are bringing in information that they've never had before in the past? Right. So there's just a massive change, and what's amazing is it's only been the past 3 or 4 years, the acceleration of the change.
Okay. Well, so as video and all of this data coming in from the IoT sensors from different sources and things like that, as all this stuff comes in, but I want to make sure that my call taker is still focused on that call, or, you know, if it's a texting situation, but that they're focused on that. And do you see new positions being created? And if so, I mean, how is that supposed to work?
To answer your question, there's several levels here that you just brought up. One is, let's start the most basic. Okay, is there going to be additional positions created, or is there going to be additional training on top of what that person that's already been there for 20 years or 25 years? Well, there's going to be additional training. There's no way around that, okay? Because we are, you know, at the federal level even, reclassifying what this telecommunicator is, you know, this call taker, they, you know, becoming a first responder. I've had clients that have actually already made that decision and moved them into that position. I mean, years ago, a call taker or a dispatcher, you know, it was always said, we're not going to give them as much money as what we're giving our sworn officers. That's not even on the table anymore. They're just doing what's required to actually put that person in a position to be basically a first responder. Right. So now what happens then is that there's a retraining that occurs, and there's a new standard operating procedure that occurs. And some of the organizations, you obviously, Donnie, you're familiar with NEDA and APCO, and NEDA's actually started to develop a new SOP for this kind of situation. Because, you know, you see changes that are occurring and how they're reaching out. These ECCs and PSAPs are reaching out to people. Like you said, they're going to trace us. We're trying to gather information. What do we do? So that's where they're at. It's almost like a crossroads. Well, what's the big thing in life that happens all the time and we can't stop it? That one big thing is change. And how you adapt to that change is how successful that your emergency communications center or your PSAP is going to be. You must adapt to that change, though.
Right, right. So do you see, I guess looking at one extreme, hey, well, we're going to put video editing people and cybersecurity people in every single PSAP, ECC out there. That doesn't seem practical, or just finding people, much less being able to pay them.
Yeah.
So do you see can some of this stuff be handled by machines in terms of, you know, artificial intelligence and things like that, and machine learning to address some of the more rudimentary things? And then B, do you see a possibility of shared resources? I mean, I know in the 911 world, people, you know, they talk about consolidation as the C word, and it's a dangerous thing from a physical consolidation thing. But can I do, if we're all connected by broadband, can't we do that virtually in a regional thing and share some resources, such as cybersecurity experts, video editing experts, maybe even have a licensed officer to say, hey, that 10 seconds is important, let's send it out to the field, and not leave all of these decisions and things laying at the feet of the, on the table of the telecommunicators and locally.
You just hit on it. There's going to be two ways. A large center. I've known of large centers that actually started putting sworn officers, especially during the busy times, maybe a Friday evening or a Saturday evening during those shifts, mm-hmm. they're having sworn officers actually in the dispatch room. And that way that sworn officer can actually go through and filter the information before it goes out if somebody's asking for additional information on scene. Well, what's more possible, because we already know, as we mentioned, a lot of the ECCs and PSAPs are medium or small size anyway. So they cannot afford that. They can barely get enough officers in the street to begin with. So what they're doing and what they need to start doing, as you already alluded to, Donnie, is coming up with these central centers, sort of like the old fusion center concept, okay? So that way they're actually have somebody that has an expertise, The same way that these small and medium-sized facilities actually utilize translators. I mean, I had a 911 director telling me just last week that it took them a few minutes to understand what language was coming through when this frantic lady had called. And once they figured it out, they found the proper translator because they're already obviously in an agreement with a company to take care of that. So that's what I really see happening, Donnie. They're going to have to, because this information is not going away. Okay. And that is probably what you mentioned is probably a very good transitional system too.
Well, I'll tell you, but there are pros and cons to all of this. And, I could talk to you forever, but we can't do that here. However, yeah. You and I are going to be on, along with a couple other terrific experts. We're going to have a webinar on Wednesday, December 11th, and we'd love for people to join us. It's free, and we'll have the link in below this podcast to explain to people how they can register.
That is correct, Donnie. And then, like I said, there's three different perspectives. Myself, there will be somebody from a manufacturer, and then there will be a retired 911 director who has also been in law enforcement and the military for the past 30 years.
Yes, and so it'll be great, and we really appreciate AvTech for sponsoring this.
Yes.
So anyway, Terry, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. I look forward to talking to you again on December 11th, and hope folks can join us.
Well, thank you, Donnie, and you have a nice Thanksgiving.
All right.